But I like that old stuff, amen? I said, I like that old stuff. Give God praise and give him thanks because he is worthy of all the glory. We thank God for you. And that song is something I want to talk about today because some of us got bad memories. I said, some of us got bad memories. Can I get a witness? That's why you got to ask the Lord to help you to remember. As we look at this passage today, this involves Peter the Apostle. And Peter had gone through that night of trial with the Lord, but something happened. And undoubtedly, there are some things that's happening in your life that you want to forget about, you can't forget. And then there are some things that you shouldn't forget about, and you've forgotten a long time ago. If you turn with us in your Bible to Luke chapter 22, and in preparation especially for our communion, I think this message is very befitting. The Bible reads, about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was yet speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you all just say this with me? Do you remember?
Do you remember?
Say it again. Do you remember?
Do you remember?
You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for blessing us to be in the house of prayer. And we will often ask you to remember us. But we have to admit, God, that there were times that we forget all about you. We forget you're there. We forget to say thank you. We forget to pray. And rather than giving you thanks for everything, we remember how to complain. Remember how to grumble. We remember how to talk about somebody else rather than going to them and talking to them. So, Lord, help us to remember the things that are truly important and the things that are critical in our lives. Bless us, only you can do, that this might indeed be time well spent. In Jesus' precious name, and all the people said amen. How many of you have had occasions where your mind just went blank? Couldn't remember stuff. It's going to happen more as you get older. I accredit it to the fact that you know so much that some stuff just kind of, you just forget about. That's what I accredit it to. After all, you've seen a lot of things. You've seen ups and downs. You've gone through situations in your life. And it's hard to really hold on to everything. An embarrassing situation happened the other week while we were at the Martin Luther King celebration. I was supposed to sing, I've Been Blessed Today. Wrote the song, said I'd never forget it. Stood up to sing the song. Bernard, he's standing there, and the Robinson brother, he was there. And they just waiting on me, and Brother Four, he just waiting on me to start the song, and I didn't have the words. And finally, something circled back in my mind, and I started with the first verse, and we carried on. I know Shelby, she was back in the choir. She was looking at me, Lord, help him, Jesus. We were able to remember. We were able to recall. And it's something when your memory gets jogged at the right time and you're able to respond. As we reflect on what happened to Peter, I want to just tell you that, first of all, it could have happened with you. And it does happen with us Sometimes when we don't go through the proper procedures and process to keep what I call a holy memory. Brother Carey will sing this song sometime in the church, "Keep Your Mind Stayed on Jesus." And I know every one of us in here this week, you ain't always have your mind on the Lord. I said, you haven't always had your mind on the Lord. You said, well, the other thing just came up. But we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But here's some things that I call in the Psalm 77. I call that the remembrance song and recognizing memory as a gift. Asaph, the one who wrote the psalm, he refers to God not when everything is going good. Everybody can just say, okay, I'm going to praise the Lord when everything is going good. He was facing a crisis in his life. And he recorded some things in this song that I believe would help us to remember. Verse 3 of Psalm 77 says, "I remembered God and was troubled." He saw some things that was going on in his life. But he also adds, I remember God. God's in control of this. Whether the sun is shining or not, whether the day is going my way or not, whether people like me or not, I'm going to remember God. Amen. He remembered God and remembered that God was the one working in his life. God was in control of everything. Whether you're going through a bad time or a good time, just please say to yourself, God is in control. You save yourself a lot of misery, a lot of heartache. He knows how to call things, and he does it always in love. God never does anything without his love, because his mercy and his love endures forever. But then he goes on further in the psalm, recognizing that he needs God. He said, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Then he asks the second question, is his mercy gone forever? He remembers how that God was good to him. He remembers how the Lord would make a way out of no way. And then he asks the question, in the middle of his crisis, has God forgotten to be gracious? How many of y'all have prayed that? I want to tell you something. You can be honest with God. If you're hurting, you can be honest. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to have a smile on your face to have joy in your heart. Can I get some witnesses? So he remembered, and he asks, is the Lord angry with me? But then in verse 10, he makes up his mind. He says, I said this is my infirmity, but I will remember. Everybody say will. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works of old. You can't change what God has done. Maybe he's not working on time or your schedule that you want him to right now. But my grandma said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. So memory is a gift. It's something that we have been given by God to help us to reflect on things. Without that, you would place yourself in peril. You would be in a place where you would not be able to recall the things that are really critical and important in your life. It's good to remember. Let me give you some things now that you probably need to reflect on, and that's on the flip side of it. What are the causes of forgetfulness? Now you have what I refer to as excusable forgetfulness. When you get old, you know, and you get a certain age, and certainly there are people with medical conditions such as dementia, such as the decline, and they really can't help where they are. But then there's also unexcusable forgetfulness. You walking past somebody and pretend you don't know them. Are y'all real? I'd never do what Peter did. You do it all the time. See somebody that you don't like, oh God, I don't even see him. But when you think about forgetfulness, distractions can come in. things that draw your attention away, and I'll get a little bit more into that in just a little bit, but it is when your mind is drawn away and now you cannot think like you would because you got things that have come up. You forgot an appointment because another crisis or another emergency came about in your life. That's a distraction. But now the devil, if he can forget, if he can make you forget, he's busy all the time. Not only is he about deception, he's also about causing you to not remember. For instance, sometimes you might be tempted to forget you saved. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all, you ain't talking to me in here. You're not saying. Especially when you're in a situation where compromise is right there. Now, I want some for real folk. I don't want no pretend folk. I want some for real folk. How many of y'all ever drank? You see, I'm raising my hand. I know some folk ain't never tasted in my life. All right, so we honest, right? All right. Now, I'm not proud of it, but I ain't gonna lie either. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a place where everybody else is participating. And you got a Sprite. Then you kind of look around the room. See who might know you. And then conveniently, you say to yourself, Lord, forgive me, but I'm getting ready to do this. The devil will pull you off course. That's not the only situation that he'll move in. He'll make you compromise your values. He'll make you cheat when you know you need to do right. He'll cause you to do things that you're not even aware. He is the chief at causing people to think one thing when really it's another. He'll make you forget. He'll make you forget your commitment to God. And as I go back and as I read the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Israel over and over and over again. They'd reach a place of abundance, and then all of a sudden they would forget about God, and God would bring punishment on them. And then God would feel sorry for them and have mercy on them. And then they'd go right back and do the same thing. Kind of like us, isn't it? But the devil can cause us to forget. Not only that, but we can be in a situation of distress, a crisis of faith, at a point where we have to make a decision, but we can't because the pressure of the world is on us. Be aware that when you go out of these doors, and even if you're sitting in here, there's a certain amount of pressure that is on you that tells you, well, you don't have to do this. Let's forget all about that, and let's do something else. When you know where your commitment really ought to be. See, it's good and easy for us to point the finger and say, Peter should have known better. But do we? Look at somebody, tell them, help me remember. There on that night, before they left the upper room to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter and the other disciples said, Lord, if everybody else lets you down, don't worry about it. I got your back. I'm going to be there. I'm going to serve you, even if I have to lay down my life. And Peter tried everything he could to hold on to that commitment, but he was in distress. His Lord and his Savior had been arrested. No matter what he tried to do, he couldn't change it. Now, let me take Peter out and let me put you in. What situation are you in right now that might be causing you to say, I just want to forget about it and do something else? Before you do that, always remember the Lord. Amen. Always remember that he didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Amen. I know the going gets rough. I know the devil is telling you, throw in the towel. But you hold on just a little bit longer. As a matter of fact, just let the Lord hold on to you, and he'll make a way out of no way. You say to yourself, I've been going to church a long time, trying to get my life straight, trying to do what's right, and now I'm faced with this. I might as well go back. But wait a minute, before you go back, look at how far God has brought you. Think about how he's been good to you. No time to give up now. No time to turn back. No time to say, Lord, I'm weak and I can't make it. If you get weak, just ask him for strength. My Bible tells you he'll give you strength if you're weak. And look at somebody, tell them, keep on going. You have this spiritual fatigue that comes over you. Been in the church working a long time. And all of a sudden, the onslaught of what people are saying and what things and the circumstances are happening in your life, and you almost want to take a detour. Y'all know how you do. Forget about it. You better not forget about it. Because God still got to work for you. I said, God still got to work for you. The Lord still has something that he wants you to do. That's why you're still in the land of the living. If he was finished with you, you'd be out back with the rest of the folks resting, amen? But instead, you're still on the battlefield for the Lord. May I remind you what that verse says in that song? I promise him that I would serve him until I die. You ain't dead yet. Look at somebody and say, you're not dead yet. Keep on serving. Keep on serving. Help me to remember. Let me introduce three types of memory loss that we probably need to reflect on. One is selective memory loss. That's the one that my wife said I have. Yeah. Those of you that are sitting by your spouse, you're probably saying, yeah, they got that problem. It's choosing when it's an advantage to remember and when it is not. For instance, we ran the house. Did you see that soda? No? Well, I ain't seen it. I'm just using some innocent situations. You got some other stuff that y'all do, you know. Selective memory is when we get to a place and we say to ourselves, you know what? If it's better for me to forget, then I'm going to forget. And if it's better for me to remember, then I'll remember. Whatever works in my favor, that's what I'm going to do. I don't ask you to wave your hand. How many of y'all use this tool of selective memory? Because all of us have. Here's a note that I made. Psalm 23. It's not just a song to remember the Lord as our shepherd, but also to remember that we are his sheep. The opening verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That last part you should focus on. I don't want anyone else guiding my life and directing me except God Almighty. How about you today? Now, I know a lot of times you can say he's your shepherd, but are you his sheep? Are you remembering him? Are you giving him glory? Are you thanking him for his many gifts? I use the illustration also of a two-year-old. They can select when they want to remember. At 2 years of age, if they don't want to be around you, they're gone. But as soon as they get in trouble, they know how to call, Mommy! Some of us haven't grown up yet. Everything go good, we forget all about God. Then when things go bad, oh, God, I need you. Come on, I hear you. Y'all don't mind me preaching to you. You see, it's easy for us to put Peter on the spot, but what about us in our lives? What about the way that we choose to remember sometime and then choose not to remember? The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. What other memory are you talking about, preacher? Well, you got what's known as the sedative memory loss. That is when something now is clouding your mind. Not just selective, but you have something on your mind that is causing you to forget. And when you have that process going on in your life, you've got to be aware that God still loves you. He will never change his mind. As a matter of fact, he always remembers who you are. And when I talk about this sedative memory, there are a lot of people that are trying to drown their problems in alcohol and drugs. There are people that are saying, well, I can't stand this pain of life. And rather than depending on God, they're depending on their own means. But that's not the only thing. Christians are known for a drug called worry. Rather than pray about it, we're going to worry as if that's going to change something. Get into the Word and start asking God what he would have you to do. Take action on that. Don't just accept the problem for what it is. Say to yourself, I may not be able to solve it, but I've got a waymaker in my life. I've got a divine strength working in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't let your mind get sedated. And one of the other things that can sedate your mind is a thing called pride. People are more concerned about what they've got than who they believe in. If you got it, thank God you got it, but don't boast about it, because you know what? As quick as it comes, it can go even faster. Can I get a witness here? Everything in your house, you ought to be saying, Lord, thank you for the chair I sit in. Thank you, Lord, for the bed I sleep in. Thank you for the roof over my head. Don't let the wine of this world, as James Weldon Johnson says, cause you to be drunk in life and not give thanks. I've seen people come in church, and rather than really lifting their hands or however you want to praise God, people will just sit there and they look around like they're mad at folk. This is not about looking at each other. This is about looking unto him, the author and finisher of your faith. How many of y'all will be able to admit, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side? So what if people look at you and they remember all the things in your life? You tell them, but the Lord made a way out of no way. I don't know what he did for you, but he brought me from a mighty long way. That sedative memory, where now you got something clouding your mind and causing you to forget about the goodness of God. Don't ever do that. Amen. But Peter didn't suffer from that. He didn't suffer from the selective memory or sedative memory. He suffered from something else. He was under stress. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's not a person in here who can tell me exactly what they would do if they were under stress. Amen. You don't know what you would do. But it's always good to know that your life is in his hand. I was doing a little research, and psychologists say that when people are in a state of stress, they normally resort to three things: fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. Peter did all three on the same night. When they came to arrest Jesus, he saw what was going on. He pulled his sword out like he was somebody. Here I come to save the day. Cut off the high priest, the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. He was aiming at his head, but he missed. And then later on, Jesus healed the man, said, you know, put up your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by it. Amen. I know a lot of y'all say, well, I don't know what I'd do under stress. You know, that's why I don't have a gun. I do not carry a gun. I don't blame people that carry a gun. I do not blame them. But let me tell you one thing. I don't know what I would do if I had a gun. That's why I ain't got one. Don't want one. Amen. Second reason I don't want one, because I live in a house with my wife. And I don't know when she might get, I don't know what she'd do. I'm just being real. I ain't trying to throw her under the bus, but I'm just saying. Man, I don't get no rice pudding now for 3 months. You don't know how you would respond to stress. And yet we are in a stressful world. Our young people go to school and they don't know what kind of person is going to show up on their grounds and put their life in jeopardy. That's no way for people to live. And yet it's the world that we live in. Stress. You walk down the street and you don't know if somebody might just take a notion to where they want to drive up on the sidewalk and hit you. Stress. And we older people, we live under stress constantly. Why? Our bodies do crazy stuff. Won't function right. And we don't know. We go to the doctor and we get confused. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. That's why I'm here at the doctor's office. Peter tried. He fought. This will help me keep my vow to God. This is what I need to do. Fight. You know, when we look at the wars and rumors of war, they're not just happening in the world, it's happening in the church. Amen. People will fight over the color of the carpet. The second thing is flight. He ran away with the rest of the disciples. Well, if I can't cut off somebody's ear, let me just run away with everybody else. But then something on the inside told him that's not the answer either. You can't just flee away. You just can't go to your corner, hide out in your closet when things go bad, pull the drapes, and wish that life would go away. Then you wake up, it's another day. And you got to face it. How do you get through these times of stress when the world is just eating away at you? Little bit by little. Causing you to even doubt yourself. You're constantly checking your bank account. Make sure that somebody hadn't scammed you. Stress. It's the world that we're living in. How do you cope with that? I'm going to tell you that in a few minutes, but I'm going to get to the third response, freeze. Freeze. It's as if life brings you to a standstill. Rather than just throwing up your hands, you're really on your knees broken. Because life now says, I got you in my grips. That's where Peter was. Put that in perspective now as he goes through this barrage of questions. Weren't you with Jesus? Didn't I see you in the garden? Man, you talk like a Galilean. He's under so much stress to where he says, I don't know him. I don't know him. I want to admit to you, I've been in places like that. While you may not be willing to admit it, I have denied the Lord. Didn't betray him, but I denied him. Lord, I know this is not right, but this is the easy way. This is the way that I feel like I can be safe. Just freeze. If you don't do anything, just pull the covers up over your head. Hopefully the next day, time will erase it. And what you find out the next day is time didn't erase anything. Now it's bigger, it's bolder, and it's closer to you than it's ever been. I got you out on a limb now. But let me get you out, not only off the limb, but let me get you down from the tree. Peter's denial took place because about the space of an hour. Now, you got to think now, when they left out of the upper room, it was probably evening time. The night has gone by. He's tired. He's weary. Went out to the garden to pray. And remember, they fell asleep when they should have been praying. They fell asleep. But now, in the early mornings, when the dew is falling on the ground, Peter's out there, and people are breathing at him, and they're saying, "You won." And it's almost like they're trying to confirm you're a believer. You trust in God. You have your hope on him who is eternal. And rather than confessing that, sometimes we just say to ourselves, "Not right now. I can't handle it. I got too much going on, too much mess that's going on. And it's just easier just to say, forget it." All of us have done that. If you're willing to admit it, you've done that. His denial, but then his recovery. Look at what happened. Now, Jesus had already given the prophecy. He'd already said, before the rooster crows one time, you're going to deny me three times. In a matter of hours, he denied the very one that he'd walked with for over 3 years, the one that he had dedicated his life to, in a matter of hours. But here's the good news. It wasn't the rooster that woke him up. The Lord, as Luke said, looked upon him. The good news is God's looking upon you. He sees your weakness. He sees your frailty. He sees your brokenness. And rather than looking at you and shaking his head, he looks at you with that same love and with that same grace. And he says, "It's all right. It's okay." See, a lot of times our recovery has to be when we make contact with the Lord. That's when you start recovering. As long as you keep going down that slippery slope, just forget about it. You're never going to get it back. You're never going to have that wholeness. Here's some things that Peter did. It says he remembered. See it in bold? And then after he remembered, he went out and wept bitterly. What happens when you cry in church? What makes us cry in church? We cry because we're sad. Sometimes we cry because we're filled up. We start thinking about God, and all of a sudden, you just get filled up. When you think about how merciful he's been to you, it'll make you get filled up. Tears will start flowing down your face, and I don't know why I'm crying. You're crying because you're expressing something, and you're telling God, "I remember. I remember when I was down and you picked me up. I remember when we didn't have food to eat and you made a way out of no way." Some of us may never have had to deal with the situation of being homeless, but there have been homeless people when they would look up and remember, and then they would see how God had taken care of them. What a merciful God we serve. I'm about to close this message, but before I close, I'm going to give you a couple of things that will help you get your memory back. Look at somebody, tell them, "I want my memory back." First thing you got to do, you got to believe God's word. Peter remembered not what everybody else was saying, not what John said, not what the other disciples, Andrew and all of the others said. He remembered what Jesus said. Jesus had told him, "Peter, you're going to deny me, but that's okay. I prayed for you. And because I prayed for you, when you get your strength back, you strengthen somebody else." Second thing you got to do when you're going to remember, you got to show some remorse. If you've done something wrong, show that you're broken over it. If you don't say to yourself, "I'm sorry for what I did," you're looking for another opportunity to repeat it. Hello? You know, if you rob a bank and all of that, and you start saying to yourself, "Well, I don't regret it. I wish I'd have got more money." That doesn't help you. You got to show remorse. You got to show brokenness. The Bible didn't just say Peter went out and sniffled. Peter wept bitterly. You know, when Miss Cabler, to the time when Mama used to whip us, you know, you get over there in the corner, first thing she's going to tell you is, "Shut up." And I mean, the switch is still stinging on your leg, and you're going, you're trying to get it together. But listen, when you are broken before God, when you are honest before God, when you say to God, I let you down, and I let myself down. I wanted to do better, but I made a bad choice. When you show that brokenness with God, you know what he does? He said, blessed are the brokenhearted, for they shall be healed. He touches your heart, makes you strong. Now you're ready to get back up and say, Lord, I remember. Last thing, express gratitude. If you're a thankful person, it'll keep you from forgetting. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me help some of you out. Some of you are probably carrying around some weights and some things that you wish you could forget about. And I can tell you that through the power of Christ, he will help you to turn those bad memories into something that can go for your healing. He can do it. He's God. Anytime he can make a universe out of nothing, he ought to be able to do something with the situations you have going on in your life. He's God Almighty. How many of you believe that? But I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to be thankful to God. Not necessarily for the problem, but in the problem. Not necessarily that you've been down and people have misused you or they've done different things to you. Amen. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm telling you to thank God because he kept you even in those times of storm. Even in those moments of crisis, remember how good the Lord has been to you. Remember how far he brought you. And in case you're wondering if you made it anywhere, just look back where he brought you from. But then look at where he's taking you to. God wants to be glorified today. And it doesn't depend on whether the sun is shining or whether it's raining outside. It just depends on your attitude and your heart. And I will tell you that if you would look up and give thanks to God, it'll help you to have a holy memory where you can reflect on God's goodness. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Father, we thank you for blessing us today. We thank you for this reflection. Before we go into this Passion Week of all that Christ has done and all he means to us, thank you that we can remember. And thank you, Lord, that we too, like Peter, we denied you. But today we want to confess that you are indeed Lord and to remember all the blessings that you've sent our way. Help us, God, so that we might be able to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, and all the people said, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation. There might be one today that you're without Christ and maybe you're remembering some of the things in your life. Maybe something we've said that convinced you that Jesus is real, that you can take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If that's you, will you come? Invitation is given.
Grateful for.
May we all stand.
Victories we've won. I could go on and on and on.
For those of you that are online, I know you can't come in here and respond to the invitation. But you can, right where you are, ask God to love you and forgive you of your sin and come into your life, and he will do just that. Pray and receive him as your Lord and Savior, and God will do that.
My heart are the issues of my heart. Is gratefulness.
ask our candidates that were baptized this morning. Going to ask them to come up. Yes. Hi, Mayor.
Ty. I could go on and on and on about your word. Because I'm grateful, grateful, so grateful just to praise you.
Pierce, Caden, Elliott, I want to present you with a certificate of baptism. It states that you were baptized here at the Crossroad Baptist Church, and it gives the meaning of baptism. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. So I want to present you with your certificate and also with the Bible. And I want to give you a handshake. They call this the right hand of fellowship. I'll give you that. All right. Let me also make a presentation. This is to Hymir. Mr. Hymir Lamarius Cabell. Did I get it right? Okay. I try. Okay. But I want to present you with your baptismal certificate. It says that you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on this day, March 24th, 2024, at the Crossroad Baptist Church, and also the meaning of baptism. And also going to present you with a Bible that helps you to learn more about who God is and what he can do for you. I'm going to give you the right hand of fellowship. All right. Mr. Ty. All right. How you doing? All right. Also going to present your certificate. Tahir Lafayette Cabell. All right. Did pretty good, huh? All right. It says that you were baptized today, March 24th, at the Crossroad Baptist Church. And I believe that you got some leadership in you. I think all of you all got some skills and leadership that the Lord can use. And I want you to become active in our church and do some things to help us. Because as you can see, I got gray hair. Yours, you know, you still got your natural hair, right? But I got all this gray here. That means I'm getting old. All right? You might be able to stand up there one day. Let me just shake your hand and welcome you into the body of Christ. God bless you. The officers are going to come at this time, and they're going to welcome you in. And for those of you that are watching at home, we pray that this service has been a blessing to you. Again, we're going to be sharing communion with these candidates as well as you and our congregation. We're going to celebrate God's goodness because he has been wonderful in our lives. Amen. Everyone receive their communion. Bible says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he'd blessed it, he gave it to the disciples, and likewise he gave them the cup that they might receive his body and his blood that has been shed for them. Father, bless these sacraments. Change them from the natural use to spiritual. Help us to learn to remember you in all things and to reflect upon your goodness. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take the bread and let us eat together. And now let us take the cup and let us drink all of it. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn. As we go out today, we want to honor God with our giving. We also want to honor him for the blessing of how that he has helped us to remember all that he's done for us. Brother Joe is going to come at this time, give us the benediction. May we all stand. How many of y'all got a better memory now? Hey.
Father, we thank you today for the message, O God, that you have given to us, how you've used your manservant to proclaim to us the good news that Jesus, on his way to the cross, what he did, how he suffered for our sins, how he purchased our redemption. And now, Lord, we know that we owe it to him to give our lives to serve him. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that you have given us to give the offering. We know, dear God, that each one of us, Lord, have been blessed tremendously by the life that you have given to us, and that we will use it, Father, to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with, so that men and women, boys and girls, may hear the word of God, may hear the good news of the gospel and respond accordingly. Thank you for this privilege. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let the church say amen.